Fasting is an acknowledgement that in our humanity, we are no competition for the devil.
Temptation is powerful, but Dr. Tony Evans says God's power in you is greater.
I'd rather have no earthly satisfaction without, as long as I have heavenly satisfaction within. Give me the will of God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If you feel powerless to resist temptation, Dr. Evans says you may be looking for power in all the wrong places. Today, he talks about how to connect with the victory Christ already won for you. Let's join him as he begins our time together with a story.
One day, a woman brought a very, very, very expensive dress. Well, she brought it home and her husband found out how much she spent on it. He said, "Why in the world would you buy that expensive dress? You know we can't afford it." The woman looked at her husband and said, "But honey, you don't understand. The devil made me do it." She said, "I tried it on, and the devil said to me, 'You look awesome, girlfriend, in that dress. You've got to have that dress.'" To which her husband said, "Then why didn't you tell the devil, 'Get thee behind me, Satan'?" She said, "I did tell the devil, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.' And he went behind me and told me I look good there too." You just can't get rid of it. That humorous story is designed to raise the issue of victory over the evil one. Fundamentally, that is an issue of power. Now, the concept of power today is abused and misused. Unregulated power is chaos. But in my context, I'm talking about experiencing the legitimate power of God to face Satan in his own territory. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have to battle with him. As long as you name the name of Jesus Christ, you have a fight on your hands. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He has jaws that has pressure that can crush you and me." One of the answers God has given to deal with the devil and his attempts to overthrow your life in whatever capacity he seeks to do it, or to overthrow your world or your relationship or whatever it is fasting. One of the most noted stories in all of the Bible is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. And relative to this series, it highlights the priority and the significance of fasting. Look with me in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus has just been baptized, and there has been a public inauguration of his public ministry. As a result, the Holy Spirit, being full of the Spirit, by the way, chapter 4, verse 1, leads Jesus into the wilderness, and for 40 days he is to undergo a massive testing period. He ate nothing during those days, so he probably subsisted only on water. And of course, he naturally would become hungry. Now, of great importance, first of all, is the reason for power fasting. Why do you do it? You do it because you are under such great attack that you need an extra boost of deity to overcome that which you are going through or that which you anticipate going through. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. In anticipation of this mega battle, Jesus fasted. He gave up food in order to prepare for this crisis situation. Please note that he did not use fasting to escape his mission. He used fasting to have victory through his mission. He didn't fast to say, Lord, get me out of this. He fasted to say, Lord, take me through it victoriously. Many of us want power sometimes to get out of it, whatever we happen to be facing, when what we need is power to go through it, because God is leading us to it. Everything that you face is not something God wants you to run from. Every problem you have is not something that God wants to get you out of. We live in a day when people run from problems. We're having problems in our marriage? Let's get divorced. No, how about let's get some power? We're having problems in our personal lives? Let's commit suicide. No. Let's get some power. You can't run every time the going gets tough. Life hurts. And there are those days or those periods of days where you need power to confront the enemy on his territory. Jesus needed the fullness of God. Now, he was already full of the Spirit, so he was spiritual, but he fasted for power for this boost of energy needed for this mega conflict. Jesus, recognizing he was no match in his humanity for the devil, had to depend upon the sufficiency of his Father to supply supernatural power. That he might have, I'm on a roll here, victory, 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 victory in Jesus. He had to depend on something beyond himself. Now, what was Satan after here? Simple. Keeping Jesus from fulfilling his mission. As simple as that. He did not want the mission accomplished. And neither does he want the mission of your life accomplished. And so he's out to stop you. He gives Jesus three tests that God allows. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Test number one, Satan offers Jesus satisfaction without God. He's hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days. Since you are the Son of God, since you're God's son, you got the power to turn these stones into bread. We're talking croissants, Jesus. You can really do this number up, and you can turn this. You don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to say no. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said, it is written, verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone. Israel got to eat in the wilderness, not by the normal mechanism of eating, because that was not available to them. God had to supernaturally break through and supply their need. So, devil, let me explain something to you. Man does not only live by what he eats. Watch this. Man also lives by where it came from. If I eat the food right now and turn this stone into croissants, then I will have eaten food, but I will have eaten food at your instruction. So you would become the Lord of my life. I'd rather go hungry and wait for a supernatural provision of manna from heaven than to be full at the dictate of the devil. You remember in John chapter 4 what he told his disciples when they brought him food? He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. If you want to know what satisfies me, what satisfies me is the will of God. Jesus would rather die than not be in the will of God. To put it another way, man only lives if the source of what's giving you life is derived from God. It's not what you have, it's who did it come from. The source is everything, he says. What he is saying is that things only have value because God speaks to it. When you eat your dinner this afternoon, when you eat your vegetables, those vegetables only have value because God said the seed that produced the vegetables will have certain nutrients. And the only reason it could say that, God could say that, was because he created the seed. And as a result, it all goes back to the word of God. Now, let me tell you another point before we move on. But watch this now, because here is the bottom line. What satisfies you most, God or his gifts? If it's the gifts that satisfy you most, then the source won't matter that much. If it's the gift that satisfies you most, then where it came from won't be that relevant. But if it's the source, God, that satisfies you most, then where it came from will matter more than anything else. You know what we have done? We have fallen more in love with God's gifts than the one who gave it. That's why our prayers are filled with gimme, 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 because you're my Santa Claus in the sky. And I love your gifts. That's why we praise him when he does a big thing for us and have little to say when nothing's going on. Because what we really love are the gifts. Jesus says, I'm hungry, but I'm still not going to eat. Because you say eat. I'm going to go hungry in God's will, then be full outside of it. His second test. In verse 5, he led him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all the domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. The first test was satisfaction without God. The second test was success without God. I'm going to give you the stuff. Success. That's successful. You get all the kingdoms of the world. That's success. We measure success by stuff and by their glory. Now, I'm not only going to give you the stuff, the kingdom. I'm going to give you the kudos that go with it. I'm going to give you the stuff. I'm going to give you the big house in the suburbs and the three-car garage and the big bank account. And I'm going to give you the recognition that goes with it. People are going to know who you are. They're going to know you when you come down the street. You're going to have clout and you're going to have a name. And I'm going to give it to you, the source. Satan can give you a lot of stuff. He says, I'm arranged for food to be in your belly, Operation Breadbasket. And I'm going to arrange for success to be in your life. And we're going to do it all without God. You really don't need God, Jesus. We can do this without God. Now, this ought to teach you a lesson. Just because you have stuff don't mean you've been blessed. Just because you have stuff doesn't mean you've been blessed. Oh, I've been blessed. God gave me a new house. Who gave it to you? God gave it to you. God gave you a new house where the husband and wife can't speak to each other anymore. God gave you that. God gave you a place where you got to work three jobs and never have time to pray, have Bible study, and go to church. God gave you that. God gave you a house that takes so much of his money that you can't tithe and give to the Lord anymore. You mean God gave you that? God is not the only one who can give stuff. Satan says it was given to me and I can give it to whoever I will. So now tell me, who gave you your house? Who gave you your brand new car? Who gave you those designer clothes? Who gave you your recognition? Who did it come from? Maybe you praising the wrong person.
Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message in just a moment. First, though, I wanted to mention that today's lesson is the last in Tony's series on fasting. We've only been able to bring you some highlights in the past couple of weeks, but the complete collection is available. In fact, we're making all 14 messages in this two-volume series available as our thank you gift to those who can support Tony's ministry right now with a contribution of any size. But this special offer ends today, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org, make whatever donation God leads you to make, and request your copy of Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 before time runs out. I'll have our contact information for you again a little later on, and Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message right after this.
What if Jesus had spent the night before his crucifixion in the park down the street from your house, or changed water into wine at a wedding in your neighbor's backyard? These stories wouldn't just be stories anymore. They'd be memories because you were there. Tony Evans wants you to have that kind of experience every time you read Scripture. That's why he's hosting a 9-day tour of Israel this November. You'll visit the site of the Sermon on the Mount, tour the Old City, including the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the upper room where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You'll overlook Nazareth, stand on the Mount of Olives, and walk the road where Jesus made his triumphal entry. You'll gather as a group for great music and worship, and Tony will have messages that will give you new insight into familiar Bible stories. There's a lot more on the itinerary. Check it out at tonyevans.org and make your reservation before spaces run out. Don't miss this chance to add a whole new dimension to your faith. Visit tonyevans.org today.
Jesus said to him, "You shall," verse 8, "worship the Lord your God and serve him only." See, it was a matter of worship. Now, I don't know if you noticed the difference in language and what Satan said and what Jesus said. Satan said, "If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you stuff." Jesus says, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus adds a word Satan didn't use, serve. Because see, whoever you worship, you serve. Whoever you worship, you serve. So you say, "I'm not worshiping the devil." Well, let's forget worship. Who you serving? Who you serving? Because your service always reflects your worship. Your worship is more than shouting, jumping pews, spitting, salivering, clapping, and raising your hands. Who are you? When you leave this building today, who will get your service? And then I'll tell you what church you went to on Sunday. Your worship is in your service, not your singing only. Satan was offering Jesus what we call a shortcut. A shortcut. What he was saying was, "Look, you want a kingdom? I give you a kingdom and you won't have to wait for it. And you certainly won't have to deal with this cross stuff. Because if you follow me, I give you a kingdom right now. Well, you bow down and worship me," which means that really I'll own you and you'll be serving me. "So you do that right now and we'll cut across this cross stuff. In my program, you don't go through trials. I just give you stuff." He doesn't talk about interest. Like your credit cards you pay for the rest of your life. He doesn't discuss that. But he offers Jesus a shortcut. But Jesus knew enough to know Psalm 2:8. Psalm 22, verse 21, he knew enough to know God had already given him the kingdom. So he was offering something that Jesus was going to get anyhow. Jesus says, "I'll wait for God to give it to me." And yeah, you're going to get hungry when you're waiting on God. You will have hunger pains based on whatever you're waiting for. You will feel it. But the Bible says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." 1 Peter 5:10 says that the way to glory is through suffering. If you get something and it doesn't cost you anything to get it, it really wasn't worth what you got. Kids can't appreciate things when it's all given to them and they never have to learn any responsibility, never have to work for them. There is growth in appreciating what you get. A couple one day went to another couple and said, we need marriage counseling because we fight all the time. And they said, well, me and my wife have never fought. Well, they need to go to somebody else. One, because a couple lying. And two, if they haven't been through anything, they can't help anybody. If they've never struggled, they can't assist anybody. How do they know how to tell you to work through it if they've never been through it? That's why you can go to Jesus. He's been through it. He's been through the wilderness. The third test, test number 3, verse 9, and he led them to Jerusalem to stand on the pinnacle of the temple, 450 feet high, by the way, and said to him, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Oh, devil gets into a Bible study. Says you're into the Bible? Okay, let's have a little Bible study. By the way, he left out a phrase when he quoted from the scripture. He omitted the phrase, in all your ways. In other words, he will give charge, but only in all your ways, the ways that are commensurate with God. Jesus says, you shall not put to the test the Lord your God. What does put to the test mean? Back God up into a corner so that he has to perform a miracle to get you out of the mess you put yourself in. That's what it means to tempt the Lord. You don't back God up into a corner. He says, razzle them and dazzle them, Jesus. Stand on the pinnacle of the temple, jump down to the Kidron Valley, 450 feet below, and when they see you do your descending thing, the Bible says the angels will not allow your foot to hit a stone, so they're going to ease you on down, and when all the people see this, you're going to razzle them and dazzle them. Show off. Yeah, the Bible does say that, Satan, but not in the way you're using it. You don't just go temple jumping to show yourself off. You don't try to put on a show. I'm going to trust God. He tried to get Jesus to question God. To question God's love, because if he loved you, you wouldn't be hungry. To question hope, because you may not get the kingdom if you don't take it from me. And to question God's faithfulness. Can you really trust him to give you the recognition that you deserve? I think you ought to put your own name in the paper. Don't humble yourself. Perform. Where did Jesus get the power from? He needed the power because Satan was going to come right at him. But where did he get the power from? Let me say a word about the resources of power. And the reason I want to say a word about it is because the same stuff Jesus used is available to you and me. Jesus used the same spiritual resources that he has made available to us. Let me name them for you. Resource number one that gave him power was his spiritual relationship to the Father. Verse 22 of chapter 3 says that the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, a voice came out of heaven, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. You say that refers to Jesus. Oh, yes. But he was, guess what? The firstborn of many brethren. Yes. Ephesians chapter 1 says, we are accepted in the beloved. Jesus is God's one-of-a-kind son, but he's not his only baby boy. When you came to God through Christ, you became Jesus' brother or sister and God's son or daughter, and therefore God is your daddy. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, why are you worried? Doth not your heavenly Father take care of the flowers? Have you ever seen a bird worrying about where my worms are going to be tomorrow? He says, if your heavenly Father takes care of them, why are you worried? The relationship to God solved the trust problem. I'm a son. This is my beloved son. You are his beloved son if you are saved today. Second thing he had was the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Guess what you have? the Holy Spirit. You know what that is? A powerful person living right inside of you. You are not this empty 100-pound spiritual weakling. When you are filled with the Spirit, heaven has set up shop in your soul. And Satan can talk a good game, but he can only deceive you. He know he must deceive you, because if you ever wake up and find out who you are, he's got to back down, because God has set up shop in you. And you stand and eyeball him, and he says, you can't make it on what God's given you. And you look at him and say, oh, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you right now that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He also had the Word of God. Now, if Jesus, the living Word, who wrote the written Word, needed to use the written Word to deal with Satan, how much do you and I, who have never written any Word, need to use that same Word? See, Satan is allergic to the Word. He goes, achoo, when he runs into the Word. Jesus quoted the Word. He didn't say, well, let me think about it. He said, let me tell you what God said. One of the reasons you ought to learn the Word is so you can have a Bible study with the devil. So you can, when the devil starts to make you doubt God, you can say, let's read this verse together, Satan. But now you can't read what you don't know. You can't remember what you've never learned. You don't just learn it to hear it on Sunday and to say amen. You learn it so you and the devil can have regular Bible studies. Because he's allergic to Scripture when it is used. That's why verse 13 says, and when the devil had finished every temptation, tried every way he could, he departed from him. He couldn't handle the Word more than three verses, sends him into convulsions. Let me close with this. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. An opportune time means he was coming back again. So don't think you whipped him today. You're not going to see him till next year. He's just going to wait till you die down a little bit, till the fire goes. Jesus' victory for us means he can have victory through us. Fasting gave Jesus awareness of spiritual things. It intensified his soul sensitivity, even though he had to pay the price of physical hunger. But because the battle was so great, the need was so deep, he was willing to have greater spiritual fullness if it meant having weaker physical fullness. I like the way Matthew puts it. It says, and the angels came and fed him. When you're doing this thing God's way, you never know how you're going to come. You never know how the angels are going to come through. It says the angels came and gave him strength, gave him worship, and gave him food because he stood fast.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging you to trust God for everything you need as he wraps up a series of highlights from his extensive collection of messages on the subject of fasting. This is an often overlooked Christian discipline that can take your relationship with the Lord to the next level. So we don't want you to miss your last chance to get a copy of this 2-volume 14-lesson series as our gift. As I mentioned earlier, if you contact us before the day's out and make a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'll send you this powerful message set as our thank you gift. The title again, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. Make the arrangements right away at tonyevans.org or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by around the clock to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. If your number one goal as a single is not to be one anymore, be sure to join us next week when Dr. Evans begins a new series on finding meaning apart from marriage. It's an encouraging look at being complete and fully free. You won't want to miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.